Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
Somebody stop us.
No, don't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. And this time we actually have a little bit of a guest with us. Everyone say hello to Jimmy.
Oh, Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hi. And with us, we've got the usual suspects. We've got Sergeant Shivers.
Hey.
And we've got Kenzie.
Help, I'm trapped in a podcast factory.
Don't worry, we occasionally feed them, every now and then.
Is it a hose?
Yes.
You wouldn't know it looking at me, though.
That's okay. You're just one step closer to becoming the icon you represent us with. You'll truly become a revenant.
I need a bit of practice on that.
And there was surprisingly not a lot of feedback last time. I mean, there actually was a little bit of discussion about the video that's being used as accompaniment. Apparently having an actual video, it's not too good because it ramps up the file size of the video dramatically, and so that makes it more difficult to stream. I'll admit I don't really know a whole lot about that, but basically means this week and probably all of the other weeks, it's probably just going to be a blank black image, or maybe just listen to the audio and that's it.
How exciting.
Yes.
The rest of the lack of feedback either means that we're on the right track or that everyone has given up on us.
Well, there is one good thing that comes out of this. Our little podcast has caused Doom Radio to get back into action, and they actually released a new edition of Where's All the Data recently.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Good thing we're coming to light a metaphorical fire under their metaphorical ass.
I think it's a bit bigger than metaphorical. We are talking about Doom modders.
Jumping straight into news, we've got GZ Doom stable release. Now it's 2.2?
Yeah, it's one of those once in a blue moon things.
Lots of new...
It's nice to actually be able to point at like a stable release build.
Yeah, that is quite nice.
If I wasn't told about it, I wouldn't even have known. It's good to hear that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of features, lots of possible things, lots of additional... stuff. And the net play is no longer an issue because Edward850 has kind of quit.
Yeah, it'll happen. I do suppose it is a lot easier to do like a net code for a source port that has like a single digit number of users, but
it's actually kind of a shame because Eternity Engine, it's been getting a whole lot of stuff recently. I mean, Altazimuth has been working really, really hard, bringing in a lot of additional features. And actually has not been systematically pissing off the entire ZDoom community.
What a shocker.
Yeah. Then we've got, like, another source port that keeps on showing up at the seams of the topic. We've got Edge, or 3Edge, 3Edge.
Fridge.
I have things to say about that.
Oh, boy. We've got another source port. And there's been a whole lot of topics and mods about it that's been posted on the ZDoom forums recently. And it's like, every time there's a new topic or a new mod for Fridge being released, there's always the typical drama. I mean, why is a mod for another source port being posted on the ZDoom forums?
And the answer to that is that the developers of the source port, the developer of Fridge is BFFs with the developer of ZDoom. So that's basically where the debate starts and ends.
Mm. I mean, if you're going to get exposure for your Doom mod that isn't a map set, ZDoom Forums is pretty much the one place to post it.
Where else are you going to post it? Doomworld?
Their Patreon?
Yes, just scrolling through the projects forum on ZDoom, there's a few Edge mods, a few EC Wolf mods, and there's these mods for this other source port that's not called ZDoom, GZ Doom. Don't know if you guys have heard about it?
Doesn't really ring a bell, to be honest.
And then there's the Zandronum source port.
The less said about those forums, the better.
Yeah, seriously.
They seem to be going through some complex stuff recently. Thank you. I do bar mitzvahs.
There's actually a lot of discussion as to whether that sort of stuff should be allowed. Because, I mean, it is primarily a ZDoom-focused forum.
Well, GZDoom is practically ZDoom at this point, and AC Wolf is the bastard spawn of ZDoom. Applied to an entirely different code base, but the principles are still there. Edge is a weird thing, but given the circumstances, it's not really a big issue.
What about other source ports, then? What sort of stuff does this open the gateway for? Because I noticed there's another person that was trying to post some shmup stuff made in an entirely different engine.
Well, that goes into like the off-topic forum or whatever. But if there's a way for me to get eyes on my Doom Legacy mod, then...
Well, yeah, actually, come to think of it, Ancient Aliens, isn't the ideal port for that MBF?
Yeah, designed pretty much for MBF.
Was it? I remember the thread basically saying it's a boom port, but it's recommended for Zedum because it has like some extra sound effects in that.
Maybe MBF was Valiant?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I just seem to remember something about Marine's best friend being like an ideal source port for some big wad.
Yeah, I think that was Valiant.
My mistake, then. There's also, what sort of source ports does this do next? Because there was another little tizzy about AMTTC when people were posting that there. Should we post, like, Duke mods on the Zedum forums?
Like I said, there's the off-topic forum stuff.
I mean, at least the argument you can make is that, well, with Edge, it's also a Doom source port, and with Wolfenstein, it also uses Zedum-style code. Eduke 32 is pretty much entirely removed from Zedum or Doom. So, that said, I feel like the Duke 4 forums don't get enough attention. Like, it's a pretty quiet board from what I've seen. So it would be nice to get some more recognition in the community. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of people that would love the kind of stuff that they've been putting out.
Yeah, it'd be nice for like the Duke community to be able to feel some sunshine instead of like the usual darkness and urine they're subject to.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a very peculiar thread that was around, I think, like a few months ago. It was some kind of multi-core Doom port.
Oh, man. That thing.
Oh, yeah. Bizarre. Jeez. Oh, man, that was something special.
It's always nice when the community gets its, like, regular quarterly visit from the internet's local schizophrenics. It seems to be, like, a regular occurrence now. There was another source port that came out recently, actually. That seems kind of interesting. QZDoom.
Oh, QZDoom.
Which is basically a project to try and add a true color software renderer to GZDoom. It's based off of GZDoom just for compatibility reasons, but it is a software renderer.
That is so extremely my shit, that is not even funny. Like, I am so excited about the possibilities of this. I mean, the software renderer, it is crunchy. It is beautiful. It is gorgeous. But we got, this looks beautiful. It's beautiful. We got the crunchiness of the most beautiful render. We got a whole bunch of options with true color sprites. And we've got of all of the GZDoom features that don't work in normal ZDoom, like flat sprite, wall sprite, rot sprite, or not rot sprite. And it is wonderful. I cannot wait to make use of it.
I'm kind of torn about it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on one hand, it's a feature that's been needed for a long time, just as an optional side thing. But on the other hand, it's like the overall effect of a true color software renderer for GZDoom. Like, the only thing that it really adds over like using the GL renderer with nearest neighbor filtering is like the wonky looking up and down and a lower frame rate, since it's hitting the CPU instead of the GPU.
Also, the lighting. The lighting.
Lighting! I know, I'm just looking at the screenshots, and
honest, this is entirely going over my head.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, basically, the short of the matter, software renderer, real crunchy, real pretty, unique lighting system. GZDoom, lots of features. Best of both worlds, combined together. Oh!
Yeah, good stuff.
I mean, if it makes people happy. And it's going to get...
And you still got the Y-shearing thing that's a bit of a problem in the software renderer, presumably.
Yeah, the wacky perspective stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully it does take care of that, because, I mean, since it is...
Well, I'm looking at the project wish list and it says true free look support. So presumably it's not in right now.
Ah, bloody hell. That's probably going to make Recoil really fun.
What's kind of funny about this is that, in a way, we've come full circle with all this, because not only does Zedum have true color support now, but GZDoom now has tone mapping. And one of the options of the tone mapping feature is to restrict everything on screen, everything that's rendered in the OpenGL renderer, to a 256 color palette. So GZDoom now has the look of the software renderer, and Zedum now has the look of GZDoom's OpenGL. So
that's going to be real useful for classic style mapping tricks, isn't it?
Mm. What I'm really looking forward to is things like sprite clipping.
Yeah.
That's something that a lot of software mods used for tricks. And even the original Doom 2 uses for tricks. Like, the Revenant is visually taller than it actually is, so it like clips into the ceiling a little bit in some circumstances. Mm-hmm. Being able to sort that out would be, it would resolve a lot of issues.
Interesting thing about the Revenant is that because of its height, it actually lowers down physically in order to fire a missile.
Yeah, it's a weird setup.
Mm-hmm. It's very strange, but and lends a little charm to the engine. It's a hack beyond a hack, but it works.
Mm.
And then moving on from that, speaking of another source port, how about that Wolfenstein?
Yeah, AC Wolf is keeping on. Some the new mods, some new ports.
Doom for AC Wolf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old Ariep mod.
Yeah, apparently portals are broken in it, though, which is kind of weird. That seems like a major thing you'd want to figure out.
Yeah.
And there's also that 2x high-res sprites project.
Yeah, that's really interesting, like finishing up the work that the Mac port started. That's a resource that's been needed for quite a while. And it's really cool that's being done right. You look at those sprite sheets and it's like, you wouldn't really be able to tell the difference from whether or not it wasn't a...
You look at normal high-resolution projects, and normally they just want to do, like, 10x resolution, or 8x, or 16x resolution. It's like, no! That doesn't work! That just doesn't work! It looks bad!
I think the difference between stuff like high-resolution stuff for Doom compared to Wolfenstein is, Wolfenstein, it's a lot easier to chuck high-resolution, like, wall textures in, for example, because you always know where they're going to meet, how they're going to be used. It's not like you're going to have a slightly clipped one because it's used on an angled wall.
There's also the fact that it's only 2x instead of like 16x.
Yeah, it still visually fits with the era and the engine and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly what the official guys did.
That, I think it was, what, 24x sprite project where they just ripped from that guy's HD Doom drawing? That was something else.
Oh, yeah. Probably one of the most horrifying projects.
Yes, that's like introduce ultra-high resolution textures into an engine that has no bump maps or concept of lighting in general, and yeah, that'll look fine.
Hey, it works for models, right? Right?
Yeah. and we can use it with our, like our Bloomin' Shader plugins and our Brutal Doom and rock and roll music and hip-hop.
Doom the way it was meant to be played.
Doom the way it was meant to be played.
Actually, come to think of it, now I want to see a hip-hop Doom soundtrack remix.
Straight out of Compton!
Well, we got straight out of Phobos.
A guy I know actually once did like a... He took the solo from Map 01 and added a beat to it and like put some MF Doom rhymes over the top of it.
Nice.
And it actually worked out really well.
I want to hear that.
I'll have to dig it up.
Rhyming from evil.
I don't think I got a chance to talk about it last time, but some gameplay footage of Duke Nukem, the new one, came out.
Yeah?
It's something.
Oh,
of course,
boy.
The people that they got to play it were Polygon, and I think we all know how they are when they play first-person shooter games.
Was it Polygon or was it IGN?
The one I saw was Polygon.
There are a bunch of different players, and they all had, like, thalidomide flippers.
He got lost in a circular room.
Well, actually, that was one of the more interesting things I noticed about the level. That ending room with a fountain in the middle is actually about four, like three rooms wrapped around themselves.
Yeah, that did look a little bit confusing at first, but the guy playing obviously didn't get it.
Yeah, I gotta say, the map was reasonably well thought out, like in terms of gameplay-wise. It looked pretty neat. Like, everything made sense.
It did look pretty decent, yeah.
Jokes-wise, I kind of feel like the hands of Garabox is sinking into it.
Bazinga!
There were some, like, classic-style jokes, like the foosball table, which I thought was pretty clever.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
The art pass over the map is really cool.
Mm.
That street area just looks really, really, like, densely designed visually, but in a way that doesn't, like, detract from the experience.
Mm. Like, they got some... like, fake ambient occlusion going on, and it looks really good.
Yeah. I think it's actually real ambient occlusion in, like, the GL renderer.
Really?
I'm not too sure, because, like,
because in one of the videos, they quickly switched to the software renderer, and all that ambient occlusion stuff vanishes.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's part of their GL stuff that requires, like, a crisis-quality computer.
Yeah, I noticed that.
2 gigabytes of RAM.
Enough talk about that, though. We already complained about all the...
Yeah.
Jeez, oh, it's a mess.
No, hopefully, no harm in going back to the horse and giving it one more solid kick, though.
Hopefully some kind soul releases the map sets separately from... saves them from this fate.
Yeah, saves them from this
I'm sure that someone will do, like, an Eduke, like, support thing.
One of the things that did stand out about me, to me, about it, was there's a new enemy that gets shown off at the end of the level. And,
yeah, the firebug.
Was those really the only sprites they had? Because those rotations kind of...
When Terminex was against Gearbox, before they had sorted out their differences, he mentioned that apparently the sprites of them originally, like, a modified Wiz Troop.
Oh.
But because they... Obviously, the project didn't have a lot of time to do the art stuff, but he gave them some artwork from a prototype version of Duke 3D to try and make it look more distinct.
Hmm.
So the reason it looks wonky is because it's literally like a pre-alpha version of the Wiz Troop.
Oh, boy. So from there, we go into the straight to what have you been playing point. And Jimmy, I'm sure you have a whole lot to talk about the stuff you've been playing recently, huh?
Yeah, that's true. I have been streaming lately. Yeah, just live streaming on Twitch every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So
Twitch.tv/JimmyBTSX.
Yeah, slightly unfortunate nickname, but I guess I'm stuck with it.
Could have been worse. Could have been Jimmy KDIZD.
Oh, and you've been going through that recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I watched him go through it. It's the closest I've seen to actually witnessing someone's soul die in real time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've been through a whole lot of old Zedum releases lately. Many of them actually by, or at least spearheaded by, Tormentor 667.
Mm-hmm.
And my kind of thoughts on it are that, you know, in all honesty, I still kind of like Tormentor as a person. Like, just this, I feel like, you know, I've been in the community probably about the same time as him. Maybe he's been in a bit longer, but I feel like that, you know, on a personal level, that there's something that kind of connects me to what he does. But
he seems to have a lot of enthusiasm and is very, yeah, motivated.
There's still good in you. You don't have to fall to the dark side.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame. In all honesty, I feel, because he is an okay guy. He's got a bit of an ego on him, I guess. But,
a bit.
I'm sure that he's capable of doing good stuff, and his maps are like quite trope ridden. If that makes any sense, there's a very certain Tormentor quality about all of them, basically, particularly his earlier releases, and things like Knee Deep in Zedum, Sapphire, some other stuff that he released, I think, in the mid-noughties. City of the Damned, maybe. Yeah, it all seems to be, like, full of little in-jokes that he's put in, or little advertisements for himself, which is kind of a weird way to go about it, I feel. A little, like, community japes and stuff that nobody from an outside perspective would rightly get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stronghold in particular was full of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Tormentor stuff lately. His style is a little bit polarizing, obviously. Some of his stuff is just outright not fun to play, I'm sad to say. Knee Deep in Zedum definitely was one of those. You know, take Doom Episode 1 and just make it 10 times longer and more content saturated and bloated with interesting creative decisions, and you don't have a solid product. You have something that really just outstays its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the last time I played it was a multiplayer session, and at least twice a map I'd be like, guys, I got trapped in the map geometry, come and help me out, someone shoot a rocket at me, I'm out of ammo.
Yeah, that happened to Jimmy several times when he was going through Ultimate Torment and Torture.
Yeah. Plenty of opportunity to get snagged in a little crevice or trapped under a pipe or something. Yeah.
And from Jimmy's optimistic self, we go straight to the cynicism. And, Kenzie, I hear you have some...
Oh, do I?
I haven't actually played Blade of Agony, so this will be
interesting. I have been sitting here listening to Jimmy talk about Tom just holding back. Like, do I say something now? Or because I downloaded the I'm sorry, I don't want to be negative, but I downloaded the GitHub build of Blade of Agony, and holy fuck!
Oh,
that's a not good holy fuck, I see.
Boys and girls. Let me rewind a little bit. Whew. So,
take a deep breath, dude. Take a deep breath. It's okay. We're here. We're here to support you.
So, first bad sign. The mod is 312 megs.
Right.
89 meg of that is music.
Mm.
Right.
And pretty much all of that music is either ripped from Return to Castle Wolfenstein or from random Medal of Honor games. Mm. And frankly, none of it stands out. It's all just instrumental orchestral stuff.
The cinematic epic stuff, right?
Yeah, basically. And it all just kind of blends together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there's stuff that identifies my leitmotifs from those games or whatever, but it's just orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
So, none of that excellent 3DO Wolfenstein music?
Nope. So, I've already started off on a negative foot, but I'll flick over to the positive stuff briefly. It looks amazing. The environments are beautiful and very carefully built. They basically use every trick the engine is capable of, models, the 3D floors and that sort of thing. It just looks stunning. Even if you don't know anything about the Doom engine, beyond it came out in 1993, it looks really impressive on an indie game sort of basis.
Yeah, if there's one thing that can be said in favor of Tormentor, it's that he's really got a knack for making things look really pretty.
Yeah, and the hub map in episode 1, you return back and forth to a headquarters area. It's very detailed. There's lots of NPCs running around, a lot of areas to look around. It feels very Strifey, that hub map.
Okay.
And then from there, we dive off the deep end.
Now to go back into arsehole mode. So, I mentioned that the areas look great, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're very realistic looking, but it feels like that a lot of the effort went into making these areas look realistic and believable. They have realistic scales, all the buildings, built in ways with sort of layouts that buildings would feasibly have. But none of that, but not a lot of thought went into making those areas fun to run around and shoot Nazis in. I want you to ponder that sentence.
Yeah, that's
making
that's
shooting Nazis
like
less fun.
Yeah, it's something that should inherently be fun, surely.
Yes.
If there's one thing that Half-Life has taught us, it's that realistic structures and levels are not really that easy to actually make stuff out of.
Yeah. The Great Illusion Half-Life and a lot of Valve games, it is making things, environments that look realistic, but that lead you through them in a clever way. And that's another thing that levels sort of in Blade of Agony sort of get wrong, is that there's not a lot of, I've forgotten the word, but not a lot of leading you in the right direction.
Conveyance?
Yeah, there's a lot of doors that are just pure scenery. And they only look slightly different from the doors that you can actually use. And that's very frustrating when you get lost and you're trying to find the right way.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's something I was thinking about, is that you could make the argument, it's in Lars Rojas's original Wolf and Dooms, there were a lot of rooms that were there that would have been there in a realistic situation. But the thing with that is that most of the time you could completely ignore them and look for the big room with the key in it or something along those lines.
Yeah, it feels there'll be four doors near each other and there'll be one with a slightly different coloured wooden bands on it that you can use. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is that the monsters are based off of Wild Weasel's Nazis mod, which means they have the hit scan attacks and they hit pretty hard.
No, Weasel's Nazis, they converted everything to projectiles.
I mean, it's fast projectile stuff, sorry.
Like the tracers?
Yeah, that's what I meant. And they hit pretty hard. To give an example, in the first level, there are, rifle guards on rooftops, and it's dark, and all the enemies are wearing black. So, it's very easy for monsters to sort of blend into the darkness and get a cheap hit on you for, 25 health before you can really register them. And one of the key things in both Wolfenstein 3D and Doom is the ability to immediately register what a threat is. Even in Wolfenstein, all the enemies are very distinct from each other. And that's sort of why they have those cartoony uniform colors.
Yeah, if there's one thing I remember from when I downloaded and played Blade of Agony, I couldn't beat the first level without going into Buddha. and I was playing on the easy difficulty because I got so pissed off, and I cranked the difficulty all the way down to the bottom, and no, I still couldn't get through it because I couldn't see the Nazis. I couldn't see them. Oh. They were all in darkness, sniping away at me across the entire map, and my run speed was already neutered as it was.
So, and there are also some other questionable gameplay decisions. One of them that they demonstrate in, like, the tutorial area is the mine detector.
Oh, God.
There are minefields, and there is an inventory item that you can get called the mine detector that lets you see where the mines are.
Because it was so good and nom, right?
But Whoa. It only lets you see out, like, a certain distance, small distance, and it only lasts, like, 20 seconds or so, and then, oops, you're in the middle of a minefield, completely blind, good luck, fucker.
I mean, there's been minefields that are pulled off really well in the Wolfenstein engine, with the flat color floors and ceilings. If they could do it well, and have them be fun, and actually fun areas to go through, why can't something done in the Doom engine do that?
I think if they made the mine detector something more like the night vision goggles in Duke Nukem 3D... That would have made them a lot more feasible, since you can sort of like flick it on and off to get that balance between conserving battery and having information.
Why make it limited at all? Because, I mean, you're going to reach that point where as soon as it runs out of power, well, good luck.
That said, all the things that I've mentioned before have not hit upon the biggest cardinal sin of the mod.
What's that?
So I finished the first level. And I was like, That was mediocre. It was very pretty, but I didn't really enjoy it too much. Let's see what episode 2 is like.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The first level of episode 2 starts as a stealth mission.
Oh, no.
You start completely unarmed. You don't even have your kick attack.
Well, I mean,
and
yeah,
in the first 60 seconds of the map, there are two instant death situations. The first is that there is a flickering light outside your cell. So you step out of your cell, you pause to look left and right and take into your surroundings to figure out where to go. The light flickers, it reveals you, the guards see you and instantly shoot you. The second situation is that this time you hit reload, you don't dawdle, and you hop into the air vent. And immediately get sucked into a fan and die.
What?
Yeah, there's like fans in the air vents that are instant kill if you touch them.
I'm kind of baffled because every one of these problems, all of these scenarios have been done well in other Wolfenstein or other Doom mods, or even other Wolfen Doom mods. I mean, there's the first map of Operation Rheingold Episode 2, where you're in a prison and you got to escape. They pull it off with having, like, you hunt around the air vents again, but you don't have instant death fans because why? You just have to watch out for hard to see rats or something like that, that you can still see if you're looking clearly. Or you have, I think it was in Spare Resurrection, there's a level where you get captured and you're surrounded with not like, what, 12 SS? And somehow they managed to make that a fun and well thought out escape mission.
Eventually it gets to a point where you have to like clear out rooms using grenades. And that's sort of interestingly handled because you're sort of rationing out these limited resources against these large crowds, sort of peering around. That's sort of interesting. And I think something unique could be made of a mod where you only have, like, limited grenade-like items. Shortly after that, though, you actually get a gun again. And then the level basically takes a sharp left turn right back into Arseholeville. Because you're engaging in regular firefights in a dark, dimly lit area with mostly grey textures, meaning the enemies, which again are dressed primarily in black, or out on the other side of the room, only you typically have single-digit health. So a single hit will wipe you out.
Oh. So you have to dodge absolutely everything?
Basically, yeah, lots of quick loading and that. I managed to get past that and got to an outdoor area where there are watchtowers with what seems like instant kill snipers. And that's when I put down the mod and walked away.
Understandable.
Oh my god, it is such a crying shame because everything about the audio-visual side of the mod is so incredibly polished. It has a bunch of tricks and stuff that I really wish future mods pick up and go on with. But the gameplay itself, holy fuck, man. It's just a chore.
And a lot of people have been working on this. I mean, it's been going up for...
Yeah, and it's... I was hoping that with the big team and the extra eyes on it, that this would sort of break the Torm curse. But instead, it just seems to sort of become the biggest, most grandiose example of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not biggest, because the levels, I mean, they're confusing, but they're not knee-deep in Zedum levels of terrible. They're just... it's such a missed fucking opportunity, man. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, considering the game, well, the mod's technically still in beta, maybe what it needs now is somewhere to go in and, like, rough out those...
Maybe, but a lot of the issues that I have would probably involve heavy-duty rebuilds of entire maps. The maps I played feel like they were pretty much done. They were covered in custom art assets, they had scripting out of the arse. I just...
That's the problem with pushing for the visuals too early. Like, if you haven't gotten your gameplay perfect and, like, entirely thought out, when someone comes along and plays it and notices, oh, you've got some kind of slight issue that you should fix, when you've already got all this baked in detail and all this scripts put in, it's hard to turn that around.
There's also that Torm has always been fairly protective of his babies.
Yeah, I can't really say I'm privy to, like, his design attitude and stuff. I haven't really looked into the past threads for his projects when they're in development, so...
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that, Blade of Agony would be, you know, just a little bit of a turnaround, but it's kind of sounding like the opposite of that. Again, I need to play it. I actually need to sit down and check it out.
You really need to play it, because it is... It is... a treat. It is very much a treat.
I'm sorry, Shivers and Jimmy and that, for just completely blocking you out for a little bit.
I don't blame you.
How about you, Shivers? Hopefully you've got better news for us.
See, I just want to talk about all the Wolfendoom I've been playing, but now I can't, because... let me crack open ZDL and see what I have been playing. Right, so...
Wolfendoom!
I believe last week, I'm pretty sure it was last week, we were talking about a mod called Hunter's Moon and the maps in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think just between last update and the update before that, Xaneon released a standalone map called, hang on, I need to boot it up so I can actually remember what the name was, UAC Venor Prime Research Base. I have no idea how to pronounce that. But I've been playing through a bit of it. Didn't get through the whole thing again. But I've been playing it with Combined Arms and Colorful Howl with Legend of Dune Light on top, which is, I find it a pretty fun combination. Keeps things interesting. You're overpowered, but so are the enemies. And it's interesting to be looking through this again a bit later on after playing through more Hunter's Moon. It does share a few of the problems that Hunter's Moon has, where everything's gigantic and the enemies just kind of, they're in an empty room sometimes. There are some genuinely interesting encounters. Like, there was this corridor I got into where there's like some chain gunners ambush you from behind the door, and then while you're turning around to face them, more guys come in. There was also some broken encounters where I just managed to completely walk past a cyber demon because he was looking out the wrong door. Other than that, yeah, it's an alright mod. The architecture in it's really cool. Lots of like monumental scale stuff. Same stuff I would praise in Hunter's Moon. But it also, I don't know, it seems a bit more well thought out, probably just because he's had more experience working on maps. But it's pretty interesting.
That's good to hear. I'm afraid I haven't really checked it out, so I can't say anything. But
yeah, it kind of just flew under a lot of people's radar, I think. I don't remember too many other people commenting on it. But I am really interested to see what other stuff the guy pumps out, because I've been keeping up with some of the other maps he's been making, and it looks like he's been working on some kind of neon cyber city thing that is friggin' gorgeous. And apparently he's going to be converting some, or putting together some maps for Doom 4 Doom. Doom 4 for Doom? Doom 4, whatever. That mod.
D4D.
Yeah, which look, again, really well detailed, but I'm slightly concerned about how they're going to be handling the monster placement. They do seem like they know somewhat what they're doing. They respond to criticism really well, which is nice to see.
I think one reason that it might have flown under people's radar is that, a lot of people recognize him from Hunter's Moon, and Hunter's Moon is...
an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste, so a lot of people associate him with that. They also associate him with some other things that he posts.
The less about that, the better, I think. We want to keep this...
Yeah, let's keep it PG, relatively, after Kinsey says, holy fuck. Well, anyway, moving on from that. What have I been playing? I've been playing Black Warrior recently with Equinox, and, whoo boy, Black Warrior. Black Warrior is a treat. It is very, very interesting. Black Warrior, it's actually been in development for several years, much like Blade of Agony. Boy, we're kind of on a big old total conversion kick tonight, aren't we?
But instead of being like a big, massive group project map thing, it's like, well, there's maps. It's like a one-man show.
Yeah, it is. I know there's a little bit of help from other people, but for the most part, it's one guy, and he is doing the art, which looks incredible. He's doing the music, which sounds incredible. And he's doing the maps, which look incredible. And he's doing the coding. And the coding is... it's doing things I didn't even think were possible with the engine. I mean, it's actually got slowdown.
Yeah.
Slowdown!
Yeah. Like, that sort of thing is like... that's on the big list of things that you shouldn't even bother trying to do in Zedrum, since there's no real concept of time scaling.
And he did it!
But this guy is like...
yeah, it's hacky, like, but he pulled it off.
Like, Black Warrior is basically like, you shouldn't do that, but you did the mod.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of incredibly rough areas, and that's partially because of the, you shouldn't have made the engine do this, but he made it work. And not only did he make it work, it actually works kinda decently. I mean, yeah, again, it's clunky, but it's really fun. There is a lot of fun in being able to pick up dual pistols and just leap over entire pits in a dramatic dive, gunning everything down, and then a wall opens up and slow motion kick in, and you do this stylish equilibrium spin, and everything is utterly annihilated. Oh, it is fun!
Yeah, from the bottom of it I played, I had no idea what was going on or how to do anything, but it was fun, and it looked really cool.
Yeah! If I had to usher one complaint about the mod, well, I mean, obviously it'd be how clunky, but it's very much a, whoa, I don't know how I did that, but that was cool. There is very little actual input to the player on what does what, how to do what makes what happen. I mean, eventually I just got to the point where I just straight up asked the guy, okay, so what actually triggers the bullet time? Oh, it's random. Oh, well...
mm-hmm. That'll happen.
Did you get a chance to play the ending map, which is interestingly implemented?
Yeah, that ending map is pretty cool. Apparently he's got like a full story mode in mind.
Yeah, I saw some debris of that when I used list maps.
And it's unfinished. I mean, at the time I played it was unfinished, but oh, it is really, really cool.
It's something.
I mean, it's even got a dramatic boss fight at the end that isn't just circle strafe and hold M1 a lot.
Well, I wasn't a fan of the boss fight. It seemed like it was just, you either dodge it or you get one-shotted and you have to start all over.
Yeah. But that in and of itself, that is still significantly different and very interesting because it makes use of the existing mechanics that you've been using for the entire game, and it utilizes them in a way where you have to master them or else you get your ass kicked. And that is what a boss fight should be.
I don't know. I had different opinions on it.
Basically, you thought it was shit?
Yeah, I thought it was shit.
It's interesting. I mean, it's not perfect. It's still in development. It's probably, even with all of the love and polish in the world, it's probably going to handle really clunky because it is doing so many things that the engine just doesn't even know how to do. But it's unique. It's really, really unique. And that is probably one of the absolute best things I love about the mods. Because, I mean... if there's one thing that can be said about the gameplay modding scene, it's that it all entirely kind of runs in spurts of creativity. Like, Doom 4 came out, oh, guess what kind of mods are going to be the real next fad of the moment? Russian overkill Wanawad? Oh, well, guess what everyone's going to be trying to make next? I mean, even I kind of run into this rut a lot, because a lot of my own mods, they're very much a product of, I don't like this, how would I do it better? And Black Warrior, no, it's completely and totally original.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing I could think to relate it to would be Doom Redis, and even then, it's pretty far removed. The only real close thing is that you do fancy, stylish stuff, and there's a store.
Yeah, and even then, both of the creators are so far removed from each other that I'm pretty sure it's 100% coincidence that they behave like that. Alright, and then from there, what we've played, and now what we're making. And I'm sure, Jimmy, I'm sure you've got a lot to say about that as well.
Jimmy?
Come on, Jimmy, don't be shy. What are you working on?
What am I working on? All right, well, I guess just kind of bits and bobs here and there, really. I mean, everybody...
I've noticed that there's a little bit of a somewhat cube-shaped endeavor that's been going on.
A somewhat polygonal project, yeah, that may or may not be still in the works after a couple of years and semi-development hell, but Adventures of Square, I really need to like hold my ass into gear on that one, honestly, because like the team the development team for episode 2 have been like just grand, really. They've just been really solidly working away at it while I've just been, oh god, I need to do that thing, don't I? What I really need to do is the final map of episode 2. And I did work on that a bit on stream about a week or so ago, while the dev team answered some Q&A questions. That was quite a lot of fun. I unfortunately haven't really gone to it since then. Once I've cleared up all my university assessments and like projects related to that and stuff, I should be in the clear. And I'm really, really hoping that we can get Square done before the end of 2016, because it's been a couple of years now that E2 alone has been in development, and I think it's about time we got that out the door.
Oh, don't worry. What's another year?
Another missed Kirk award.
What, you're aiming for 2 for one project?
Yeah. I mean, they're basically 2 different projects at this point.
He can get away with it if he changes the name. Adventures of Square Forever.
The Adventures of Square Squared.
The Adventures of Square Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Adventures of Square Colonial Marines. Wait, no.
Oh, no. Please, no.
What about Joy Mapping? Haven't you been... How's that been going?
Yeah, Joy Mapping. That saw id Games release a couple of weeks ago, the second session of which... Joy Mapping's been a lot of fun. Getting a bunch of inexperienced mappers together onto a Discord channel and have them just talk and have fun and just basically sort of gently ease them through the process of, you know, making something nice, being creative, making a map and just doing whatever, really. The project doesn't have any, like, set goals or guidelines, and just everybody just kind of does their own thing, really. So that's a lot of fun, and it's been very warmly received as well, so I'm very happy about that.
Okay, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm?
You're not allowed to finish Joy of Mapping 3 until I'm done with Dump 3.
Okay.
Well, that's not happening.
Joy of Mapping is canceled.
Hey, I swear, I'm going to get it done by the end of 2020, okay? I swear.
There is no more joy in mapping.
Yes, at which point Joy of Mapping will rebrand itself to the Misery of Mapping.
So we're going to be booting up Deep Sea, running under DOSBox.
This time we're going to be integrating a con.
Bless.
Still, I'm glad to hear everything's coming all along. There was a lot of questions about Square, but I'm sure you've already heard all of them at this point.
Yeah, plenty of questions got asked on the Q&A stream, which was a lot of fun to participate in. I was sort of taking a back seat to the questions in a way, because I was busy mapping. It was a lot of fun. So we really should do it again sometime soon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just when that is, I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. I've also been distracting myself working on a really silly little Zedum mod called A Boy in His Barrel, which some people here may be aware of.
Ah, yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Play that.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that Square and Uni have not been worked on for the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's a cute little diversion.
Yeah. It was actually dreamt up on my stream. We just sort of started back and forth in ideas between myself and the chat. And then before long, we had an idea and like a plot line even for a Zedum mod, which I then made in the course of the next couple of days and then released on the forums in sort of early alpha. Yeah. And yeah, it's actually been a lot of fun to work on that.
Yeah, it's sort of taken off.
Hoping to get some interest on.
It's video gaming's second most properly done escort mission.
Second most properly done.
Well, nothing's going to top Resident Evil 4.
Well, I was going to say the top one is the one that doesn't fucking exist.
That works, too.
Then from there, Kenzie, what are you doing now that Meta Doom is out?
Disturbingly little, actually.
Really? Just kind of kicking back, watching it all fun in, donning your shades?
Yeah, doing some minor bug fixes. I got some resources for a new weapon, like some sound setup, but I haven't actually started on like coding them or the graphics yet. Just sort of getting ideas together and sort of stepping back a little bit to avoid burning out. I did a little experiment in like getting custom menus sort of systems to work in ACS by inspired by the War of Attrition mod for Duke 3D, which is a really cool RPG-style roguelite sort of high-score death run sort of thing.
Some good stuff. Dying to also, doors has never been that fun.
Yeah, my Nemesis Low Tag 11 got me again. It knows about the blasphemies and slanders that I've spread against it. And I contributed some graphics to that, just some menu icons. It looks a little bit nicer as a result. And mostly been taken a little easy recently. I should probably get back into the swing of things soon.
Nothing wrong with taking a small break as soon as you release something.
Yeah. Well, it's better than my old practice of taking a multi-year break in the middle of development.
Honestly, MetaDoom's development was kind of bizarre to see. Like, I don't remember the last time I heard a Zedum mod that someone said, you know, I'm going to make this, and then finished it within the year with all the pretty much all the goals finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I was working on it, like, daily for months. Kind of fucked.
Yeah, and then there was the forum topic.
Oh,
that was fun to watch. That was really fun to watch.
How do we keep getting back to terrible forum stuff?
Because forums are terrible?
They've been terrible since, like, ancient Greece.
How about you, Shivers? You've actually been working real hard lately, haven't you?
I was excited all this week. I was thinking, like, man, I've been working so hard on Laundry 3 this week. Look at all this content I've been doing. I mean, there's this level, there's this thing we've patched up. And I'm like, I can't talk about any of this because it's extremely spoiler heavy. Wow.
Don't worry, Shivers. I mean, tell it. Tell us what best you can, and I'll be sure to censor out important areas.
Well, you see, mainly we and we added some the most exciting thing was, and obviously we can't miss yeah.
Oh man, I never expected to see used
holy
like that.
Fuck.
Mind it's blown.
Like, it's like I was expecting that, but the fuck, man.
Man, this is the next Citizen Kane of Doom modding. I swear, there's no way that anyone's going to be able to top the.
Tom needs to watch his ass. I tell you what.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's no way anyone's going to top this. And you're still aiming for, like, a Halloween release?
I'm not admitting or denying it, but at the rate we're working at, we might feasibly have it out before the end of the year. No promises, but maybe.
Okay, you're hearing it here, folks. That's going to be our Christmas gift. And if we get at least 10 likes, then... Actually, if we get at least 5 likes, then Shivers has to do it.
Man, you're just lowering your standards. You'll put out for, like, 3 likes at this point.
Please.
If we get at least 1 like, then I'm going to have to ask Shivers to give me a head pat.
Jesus Christ.
Part of our contract.
Are we going to get deleted from YouTube for that?
I think so.
Well, be sure to check out our podcast in a couple of weeks' time on LiveLeak.
Don't worry. I'll upload this place to another little known site. Have you heard of, like, Newgrounds?
that takes me back. So, while you continue to dodge the question, Charm, what have you been working on?
Well, that's all the time we got here, ladies and gentlemen. It was nice having you this time with us.
Oh, no, you don't.
Get back here!
Well, I mean, I'm working on Booty. I mean, I've been working on Booty. I've been prodding at Dump 3, contrary to the opinions of what some people would have you believe. But, yeah, I mean, I've just been working on the same old usual stuff. I'm kind of boring like that. Actually, recently, I've managed to replace a lot of the placeholder assets in Booty, and got a hang of Arbrix, also known as the Doom Monsters gal, and she has been doing an incredible job with some sprites. I mean, she's actually... The practice of taking drawings and kind of spriting over them, it's not exactly unheard of in the Doom community. I mean, it's what Arians did for Demon Eclipse, it's what Ray Muhawk does for Free Doom, and with all of the criticisms that can be leveled against Free Doom, some of the sprites are damn good. And I think it's even what Adrian Carmack did for Doom back in the day. I mean, he took
a lot of the textures are like pencil drawings that were scanned in and pixeled over.
Mm-hmm. And it's really, really nice. I mean, I've actually got a picture of progress just comparing side by side of one of the maps, the Red Manticore ship. And, oh, it is so nice to have just actual, tangible progress on hand.
Not having Star Tan everywhere.
Oh, God.
Not having the Free Doom off-brand Star Tan everywhere.
I mean, we got a whole lot of Free Doom off-brand other stuff. I mean, there's nothing that's ever going to be able to replace the Free Doom Fire Blue, that's for sure. But, it's being done. It's being made. I'm making a game. Oh, it feels so good.
Things are slightly less placeholder.
Yeah, slightly less placeholder. I mean, still gotta make original texture sometime, but whoo! I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. And that won't be for at least another couple years, that's for sure.
Well, Gunbate? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Gunbate. Yeah. But from then there, we'll just see how it goes. Lord knows I've already juggling a whole lot of ideas for other gameplay mods, but obviously, I'm not going to be dedicating myself to anything huge or major until my existing stuff is done. I mean, the shadow of Dump is still hanging pretty high over me like the Sword of Damocles.
There's so many good maps in there just waiting to get out. Some of them already escaped.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it, damn it. People don't believe me, but I'm working on it. We'll just have to tune in next time, and hopefully by then I'll have actually done a release. And I'm pretty excited about that.
Tune in for next Fortnite's episode. Dump 3 still isn't released.
All right. I'd like to say thank you very much for Jimmy for coming on in.
No problem.
We apologize.
And let us know your thoughts, your criticisms, what you liked, what you didn't like, etc. And see you all next Fortnite. And have a blast. Keep on playing, everybody.
There'll be a link to send your pro Tormentor hate mail to us in the description.